Peter in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24 this morning, and our message is titled Living Free. Let's pray, and then we will move into it. Father, as we open your word this morning, God, we're asking that you would open our hearts, that you would speak to us those things, God, that we need to hear, Lord. We're desiring to hear from you. We want you to speak, Lord, that where you say go, we would go. When you say, Lord, whom shall I send? That our hearts would well up and say, here am I, send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, living free, I've mentioned a few times that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is elevating the law beyond mere rule-keeping to the level of the heart, to that depth, from religious observance to real worship, that we would be observant there, the most intimate expression of who we really are. It's interesting, the thing about your heart is there's really only two people who know what's going on there, you and the Lord. And if we're honest with ourselves, half the time we don't even know what's going on in our hearts because we can be that self-deceived about what's really happening there. Today, in our verses, Jesus is pressing us into a place of greater freedom. Some of us, in our heart of hearts, are in bondage to sin and the flesh rather than walking in real freedom in Christ. The religious of Jesus' day had allowed their religion to devolve into legalism, a weight that no man or woman can carry. Any of you who have lived that way, you know that it's exhausting. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 5, we read, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say, and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They won't lift a finger to help. But all their works they do to be seen by men." Jesus came to free us from not only the righteous burden of the law, which is true and good, but also the deceptive weight of legalism, that we would try to do it in our own effort. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 4, "For Christ is the end of righteousness to everyone who believes." The end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Jesus came to set you and I free, to carry our burdens for us, to live the righteous life that we never could. Freedom in today's verses is what we're looking at. We learn here a path to freedom. Freedom from bad investments. That's where we're going to go first, all right? The way we spend and invest our lives. Freedom from darkness in our souls. And then finally, freedom from slavery to sin. So let's read this morning's verses and then we'll look at those points. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye." "If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, just to remind us of where we've been, in the verses prior to 19, where we're starting this morning, Jesus taught on prayer and fasting. Pastor Steve took us through that last Sunday. Anybody take the challenge, by the way, to pray the Lord's Prayer this last week? Maybe in your nobody. No, I'm just kidding. Several of you reacted, for those of you online. I did in my devotional life. I brought in the Lord's Prayer. It's such a blessing to do that. If you missed it, do it this week, all right? That's your homework again being passed forward. Well, from prayer and fasting, Jesus just taught, Jesus moves into the subjects of investing in eternity, the condition of our souls, our hearts, and finally, the importance of serving Christ alone. That's where we're going this morning. Today, we begin by looking at verse 19, where Jesus addresses how we invest in this life. Our first point is stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. Verse 19, stop wasting your time. That's how it sounds. It should be that way, I guess. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, many of you have bank accounts, some savings, maybe a 401k, stocks, bonds, maybe even precious metals. But all of these things are subject to volatility in the economy and the markets, aren't they? Not to mention theft. Even the most secure investments can disappear or be taken from us, gone with a market correction, or maybe through fraud or a bad trade. Not that you shouldn't invest or plan for the future, but that's not the caution here. The word is to take care where you lay up treasure. What do you value most? Very often it's evidenced by our checkbook. By a glance at our banking app, where's the money going? Where do we spend it? It reveals where our hearts are. Whether it's Bernie Madoff, a natural disaster, a riot, or someone you thought was a Nigerian prince, but was actually a guy named Mufasa in an internet cafe, it can all be taken, destroyed, or lost in this life. I remember several years back, almost 20 years ago, I had a really good friend, and he wanted to help me invest and prepare for the future. And so he bought me some penny stocks. He was really into that and trading, you know, at that level. And, you know, originally it was like worth $150. But about a year later, this was actually a successful stock, and it went up to almost $4,000. I thought, you know, man, this is really cool. I'm going to ride this all the way to a million. And I think 3 months later, it was like, you know, negative $40 or something. And I know, small potatoes, but still. But what we value, it's not only measured by our checkbook or our accounts or where we invest monetarily. It's also shown by our day planner, isn't it? Our calendar, as well as how we use our abilities and talents that God's given to us. Where we spend our extra time. I don't know I think it was Warren Wiersbe, I'm not sure who first summed it up this way, but many have stated our giving through worship as being summarized or grouped as our time, our talent, and our treasure. And that's an easy way to remember it with those three T's. It's in these three categories that we run the risk of laying up treasures only in this life. As such, we're cautioned against allowing this to be the treasure that we accumulate and work for, hiding it away and living to secure it in this life only. Again, what Jesus is focusing on is not wealth only, but our pursuit of it. The love of money, as it's called in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The condition of our heart as it relates to those things. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Luke records an illustration that Jesus gave of this. Verse 16 of Luke 12, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I'll store my crops and my goods there. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the part he forgot and left off was, for tomorrow we die. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? Verse 21, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. How do you invest your time, your calendar? How do you invest your talent, your gifts and abilities? How do you invest your treasure, your resources, your money? When we only invest in this life, we risk losing it all. Maybe you won't lose it all in this life, but you'll enter eternity a pauper. Which is why Jesus exhorts us in verses 20 through 21 to start investing in eternity. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The only way to invest your time, your talent, and your treasure in a way that it can't be taken away or destroyed is by laying up treasure in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, we read, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. There's a real and harsh limit, a harsh limit on what can be accomplished in this life. Do treasures here bring comfort, pleasure, ease? They do. We'd be lying if we said that they didn't. And the Bible isn't saying that. What it is saying is that you and I must take care not to put all our eggs in that basket, because you can't take it with you. And even what you do have here is subject to decay and loss. There's no guarantees that you'll have it tomorrow. At one point, my family and I, we lived in Laguna Niguel, and it was close enough to the ocean to where we experienced that thing that all those families in Laguna Beach do, which is basically everything outdoors eventually gets destroyed by the salt water, right? You try to do different things, you know, to clean it or keep it covered or scratch off the rust, but eventually it decays. We would have that. Kingsfield used to have a thrift store, and people would donate things. I remember people from Laguna Beach bringing in, like, an Xbox. You know, it's something inside of your house, but the little connectors were decayed and rusted just because it's from Laguna Beach. That's just what happens near the ocean. It's the law of... one of the laws of thermodynamics, entropy. Things are decaying, moving from a state of higher order to lesser. That's just what happens in this life. There's no guarantees that what you have today will be yours tomorrow. I like what one person wrote. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not appetite. Finery, but not beauty. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Luxuries, but not culture. Amusement, but not happiness. Religion, but not salvation. A passport to everywhere, but heaven. Those things invested in the kingdom of God that, though they can't be touched, also can't be diminished. They can't be lost. Jesus taught on this subject a lot. In Matthew 25, verse 14, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. We could say that he was laying up treasures in heaven. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He wasted his time, talent, and treasure given him by his master. And after a long period, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents also besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' And it was the same for the one who had the 2. But to the one who'd done nothing with what he'd been given, who'd simply buried the gift, Jesus had strong words. In verse 29, 'For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away.' How will you and I invest what we've been given? Will we waste it? Will we pour it back into kingdom work? The good news is that we live under a gospel and a reality in Christ that those things that are behind are in the past. God's called us to press forward to what lies ahead. We're not talking about all the wasted time of yesteryear that can cause you to just give up in despair. We're talking about today. Yeah, maybe you wasted your first 20 years, your first 50 years even, your last week. Well, what about today? What about tomorrow? That's what we have to invest now. Change can happen today in Christ. How do you invest your calendar into the kingdom? Your gifts and abilities, your finances. Did I mention that we need people to volunteer in the kids' ministry? One Sunday a month. Guys or gals to help in the parking lot. Oh, yes, you can serve there too. We'll put a little vest on you and give you a stick to hit a car if they drive too fast. We need helpers. It can't be Mark. Mark, all he does is complain to me when I see him. It's grieving. No, he doesn't. I'm just kidding. He's been happily serving the Lord, but they need help. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you value most is where your heart is, and your heart is revealed in where you invest the most. So in your life, where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Remember these words of Jesus to a young man he encountered who'd asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus gave him a selection of the commandments, and then verse 21 reads that he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. For this man who had money, youthfulness, and power, his heart was his wealth. That was his treasure. And it was for that reason that Christ called him to give it up. What is Jesus calling you to give up today? What is the Holy Spirit impressing on you to surrender? What are you valuing so much that it's become your treasure and your heart is inextricably intertwined with it? Where is he calling you to invest? And what is he calling you away from? It might be something that's not easily recognizable to other people, because you might have a lot of things lined up the right way on the outside or what people can see, but there's something else on the inside that the Lord's been speaking to you about, maybe for some time. What have you placed in importance over Jesus Christ? Where do you invest your time, your talent, and your treasure most? The answer to that question will reveal where God is calling you to change. Now from investing and where our hearts are at, we move further, deeper into the soul itself and the condition of the whole of who we are. It's a deep inside look. Our next point is the window to the soul, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Different scholars view the meaning of these verses differently, but in context, I think what Jesus is getting at is that of how we view our lives and freedoms in the context of the kingdom of God. What do you view or see with your eyes as real treasure? Do you lust for more with your eyes, or have you determined to see with the eyes of Christ? Have you determined to see the way he sees, looking to do the most with what God has given you for his glory? Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Our eyes are the window to our souls. When you're doing well, your eyes are clear. Your conscience is clean. You can look people in the eyes. The Spirit of God and the light of Christ shines through. But when you are struggling, when you're trying to serve two masters, when you've got one foot in church and one in the world, when you're chasing after the stuff of this world, laying up treasures on earth rather than in heaven, wasting what you've been given. Further, when you've got secret sin festering in your heart, your eyes bear that out. And just as lust, after all manner of things, passes through the eye to the mind and the heart, the whole of your body, your person, is darkened in sin. God wants you and I to live in freedom, not only in regards to how we invest our lives, but also in our very souls themselves, in our hearts. Are you free? Or are you enslaved to those things that you think you've kept secret from everyone except the Lord? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the freedom that Jesus is calling us to, that brings the light and the life of Christ into our lives, pressing back the darkness. It's the walk in the Spirit that Jesus speaks of in John 15 and Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 5. When we walk in step with him, we experience the greatest and truest freedom and we grow in grace. But when we don't, our next point, light or dark. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Everything we learn, accept, and practice, we take in through our physical eyes, or if you can't see, your mind's eye. It's where you process, make choices to observe, to meditate on things. It's the front door to our hearts and minds. And when you allow darkness to enter through your eyes, your soul and the whole of your person is darkened. This is true whether we're speaking of a lustful, earth-only perspective towards money, but likewise pornography, violence, pride, lies, idolatry, and all kinds of false ideas. They all make their way in. They drag us away from the heart that God has called us to a baser level, away from God's best. I think of David after his sin with Bathsheba that started with his eyes. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. And the rest, as they say, is history. But what followed was 1 year of denial, lies, and darkness. David writes about that in Psalm 32, verse 3. When I kept silent, when I allowed the darkness to fester, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, the conviction of the Holy Spirit pressing down on David. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Now, we're not talking here only, obviously, about sexual sin. We're talking about greed. We're talking about lusts of many kinds, selfishness, pride, envy, self-righteousness. We in the church, sometimes we can think and get to a place in our hearts and minds where we determine, well, you know, God's really, he's concerned about homosexuality, and he's concerned about, you know, adultery, and he's concerned about pornography, but, you know, self-righteousness, well, you know. Pride, that's just me wanting to be like God and, you know, being glad that I finally made it. I mean, after all, God should be glad about that, right? No. Living in such a way that you are welcoming darkness into who you are. And when that happens without repentance, it grows. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he, she who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Jesus is calling you and I to walk in the light, as 1 John 1, 7 reads, to live in the light and invite the light of the world into our hearts to a greater degree. Does the light of Jesus Christ live in you? When people are around you, do they encounter his life and light? Is there room for that to make it through? John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We need to stop feeding the darkness in our lives and in our souls. Now, finally, our last verse, choose this day, our last point, choose this day, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and despise, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon, that's an old way of saying money or treasures on earth and in this life only. Jesus very clearly calls out the listener and make sure they understand you cannot do both. You can't live for treasures on earth and in heaven at the same time. You have to choose freedom in serving Christ alone or bondage to this world. We all have to choose. In this life, in relationship to investing your time, talent, and treasure, there's a pull to serve yourself, the flesh, your flesh, and the world, that master. But the Spirit of God is likewise pulling us to serve Jesus with those same resources, that eternity might be impacted for us and others. See, I make an announcement about kids' ministry or ushering in the parking lot, something like that. We immediately think of all the different reasons why we shouldn't do it that way or why that's, you know, I can't really make that work in my schedule and blah, 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 and the other. And we miss the fact that 10 people have come to this church that have never been here before. People that are hearing the gospel. People who will tell other people about Jesus. Does it matter or doesn't it? Are we interested in reaching the lost for Christ or not? Because it comes down to our investments. Steve and I cannot do it on our own. It's not our job to. We're called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. How will you invest your time, talent, and treasure to reach the lost? Jesus very clearly calls out the listener and makes sure that they understand you can't do both. There's a choice to be made. God is asking for all. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We'll close with this. Henry Allen Ironside wrote these words. He was a professor of J. Vernon McGee's, so this is many generations back. He wrote these words about this passage. Those who lay up heavenly treasure by spending and being spent for God, while numbered perchance among the poor of this world, will be rich in faith. When life is ended here, they will find endless treasure held in reserve above. The more we distribute for the blessing of others, as guided by the Lord, the more wealth we lay up in heaven. We are so constituted that our hearts will be set on that place in which our riches are laid up. The worldling has everything here, but will be poor for eternity. The heavenly-minded believer may be poor indeed in this world's goods, but rich toward God. What we need to be concerned about, therefore, is a single eye for the glory of God, an eye that discerns his will in order that we may walk in it. If we turn away to the paths of self-will, we go into willful darkness and will soon lose our way. We must choose for ourselves whether we will serve God or mammon. We cannot serve both. The love of one crowds out love for the other. What will you choose? Christ is calling you and I to freedom in serving him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word this morning, and we pray that God, those areas where we are challenged, that Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would take up that burden, that none of us would pull back, feeling overwhelmed, feeling like I can't do it, I've tried, and now I just give up. But instead, we would say, Jesus, if you're going to meet me there, if God, you'll give me the power by your Spirit, I say yes. So this morning, briefly, as we prepare to sing a final chorus in worship, if this morning you feel moved by God's Spirit, you just know just some area here in time, talent, treasure, where Jesus is calling you to greater dependence on him, greater surrender. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yes, I see. Yes. Anyone else this morning? Yes. Lord, just more of you in this area. I know I need to give more. Anyone else before we close in prayer? Yes. Yes. Father, well, for those who have responded this morning, I pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit in a special way. God, any viewing online or maybe even the overflow room, Lord, that you would give us the faith to trust you, Lord, with our resources, God, in every area of our lives, that Jesus, we would not be so concerned with being comfortable, but with being taken up with the work of the cross and your kingdom. Jesus, we surrender afresh today and we trust you. It is our desire that our lives would be invested for eternity. We ask that, Jesus, trusting you in your name. Amen. Would you stand as we respond to the Lord and worship him in this final song?
God, the only way. Lord, help us to value you above all else. Lord, to put our hearts and our treasures on your kingdom, God, on what you stand for, Lord. Help us to be excited for what you're excited about, or to despise what you despise, Lord, and rejoice in what you would rejoice in. Help us to be that people, Lord, and have that heart. In your name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Remember, we've got a 11 o'clock service. If you need prayer, you can comment it or email us at info@ccfoothillranch.org. And don't forget, next week, starting at 9 a.m., we are in the parking lot. So get ready to be loud, to rejoice, to honk your horn if you want to. God bless.